Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Romance.
Romance, bringing you the finest stories of the world's greatest romantic authors. Stories of the courage, the devotion, the adventure of love. All strung on the bright thread of romance. Tonight, the makers of Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you one of the finest love stories to come out of France in recent years. Kay Boyle's inspiring romance, Let There Be Honor.
To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Here's a taste treat you can enjoy indoors, outdoors, at work, or at play. The cool, long-lasting mint flavor refreshes you. The smooth, steady chewing helps keep you fresh and alert. Adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious.
Now, here is the first act of Let There Be Honor.
It all began in the early part of 1941, about 6 months after Dunkirk and the fall of France. I was living a rather lonely life in my house in the Mediterranean at Tuscany, not far from Toulon. I stayed on since Vichy had as yet found no reason to deport English civilian residents. But particularly because neither Vichy nor the Gestapo knew that I was operating as a link to the underground. I was a contact for soldiers who wanted to get out of France in order to join de Gaulle's army in England. It was to receive my next assignment from the underground, but I'd gone to the cafe that day to meet Adele Fichot.
There is a canteen at the railway station in Toulon, mademoiselle.
Yes.
You will work there with my mother, Madame Fichot. The coach will be sent to you there.
I see. And how will I know them?
They will come up to you and say just your first name, Honor, and you will say Honor Denison.
Yes, on them.
And then you will add, did you want coffee?
Honor Jameson.
Yes.
Did you want coffee?
Yes, that's it. And you will answer, I have come a long way for it, and I am willing to go farther. Then you will give me the address of your house.
To sound as though I were arranging a rendezvous.
Yes, see, exactly. That is all it is safe to say at the canteen. Now here, on this table, are the directions. You will pass on to him when he comes to your house. They will lead him directly to the underground, and to him pick up the abode ship for Casablanca. And eventually to invent the gold garden.
Is there anything else I should know?
Only this. You must be absolutely sure of the man in every case. Mother will help you there. She's a very shrewd judge of character. Thus, it clearly depends on me. And one mistake might expose the whole underground.
Then I shall have to be very sure not to make any mistake.
And for your own sake, too, Mademoiselle Jameson. Sometimes, if it is the good circle, one just disappears without a trace.
So, that's how it began. It went smoothly enough for several months. And through me, over 100 recruits slipped out of France, away from Vichy and Germany, to join de Gaulle's army in England. And then, one morning about 2 o'clock, the thing that really mattered happened. He wasn't too tall, not too young. And his hair was a little blonde at the temples in which the sun had done it. And he came out of the counter and leaned his hands on it. He stared at me for a moment before he spoke. His eyes were casual but steady. And then he said it.
Hello, Anna.
He said it wrong from the beginning. He didn't look at anyone or anything else in the room, but leaned on the counter with steel gray eyes narrowing a little at the corner.
I said, hello, Anna.
Anna Jameson. Did you want coffee?
I don't know. It's pretty foul stuff these days.
I'm not quite sure, Father. But I've been holding my breath praying he'd at least get the second part right. And now he'd missed it completely. He just leaned there looking at me.
You know, they didn't really tell me how beautiful you are.
They seem to have neglected to tell you a number of things.
Perhaps. But enough. I'm here looking at you. That's a good thing.
You're English.
Yes. Oh, but I am not a civilian, in spite of these clothes.
Yeah, the first Englishman we've seen come through. Did they give you a bad time getting down?
I forget. I was left behind at Dunkirk. You know, rear guard sort of thing. I ran into a few prisons since then. I've been 6 months on the way. You know, I would like some coffee.
You'll have to show your papers to Madame Fichot at the cash desk. Over there in the corner, before I can serve you. I'm sorry, it's regulation.
Oh, good old regulation.
It's the only way we can have any sort of organization here.
That good old organization. That's what makes life so easy in a German prison camp. You know just exactly where you stand.
Yeah. Drink your coffee.
Ah, now that's what I mean about organization. 1 minute, you've got to have your papers okay. For the next minute, there's your coffee without it. Dr. Sprint. You must have lived here a long time.
Yes, I have. Oh, dear, she's called.
What?
Oh, dear, good chap. Now take your papers over to her. I'll keep your coffee for you. He's coming, madame.
Right. I'll be right back.
I watched him go. Watched the part casual, part arrogant English gentleman walk as he crossed over to the cash desk. I liked the way he walked. I liked the way he moved his hands as he fished rather vaguely in his pockets for his papers. As if it were of no importance where they were, or if they were there at all. It was only when he turned around and started back that I noticed his face was harder and more bitter than any man's had the right to be. I noticed, too, that his cheeks were a little hollow. As I watched him come back across the room, he picked up a scrap of bread somehow left forgotten on the table, brought it over to the counter.
Jerry's there.
Yes.
Now, how do I get out of France? Back to England.
He asked it. Right out, no passwords, nothing.
Well?
What part of England?
Well, now that wouldn't matter, would it?
No, I mean, where are you from?
Oh, sorry. I have a little place in the country. It's only an hour from London. So where are those soldiers headed for?
That's the train to the north. They're going home.
That's where I want to go. Home. Look, will you go someplace with me where we could sit down for 5 minutes together?
I can't leave. There are more trains due in about dawn. Excuse me now, please. I must go over to the cash desk for more sugar. As I coughed over to the cash desk, I looked back and saw him standing there in his darkish jacket that must have belonged to someone else before him. Blue workman's trousers and ancient tennis shoes. His shoulders were hunched in weariness. His arms in the worn sleeves folded on the counter. Madame Fichot looked up angry as I approached her.
Some time you may make a mistake, Emma Jameson.
Oh, but he's all right. I'm sure he's all right.
And what makes you so sure?
He looks all right. He was at Dunkirk and he's been in prison. I'm sure he's English. After all, I should be able to recognize a countryman of mine.
What about Lord Haw-Haw? Isn't he English?
Oh, come now, that's different.
This one's different, too. He's better. Well, it's too authentic to be true. Where would a British soldier get such fine new permanent residence paper?
I don't know where he got his papers, but I'm sure he's a British soldier.
Now, listen, my dear. With those papers, he would have no trouble being sent back to England as a civilian. So why is he trying to get out through the underground, huh? I tell you, it's just the type they destroy people. It's fine.
Nonsense. I ought to know my job by this time, madam. Now give me the sugar, please. I've got to get back. At 6 a.m, there were 3 more trains, and I served the men who walked sleepily into the canteen. At 6:30, they began to file out to board their trains again. And he was still standing there.
Do you always work this late?
I'm leaving right now.
Oh. Well, may I walk along with you?
Well, all right, then, come along.
Good girl.
I led him out from a small entrance at the rear of the canteen. We crossed the track to the station restaurant on the opposite platform. The room was big, and perhaps not more than half a dozen people were seated at the marble tables. He sat down off in the corner of the place. And he ordered white wine because I said I wanted it. When it came, he poured the wine out. a little in his own glass, too. Tasted it. And then poured mine full before he filled his own.
But that, according to the legend, is so that if the wine's poisoned, I'll die, too.
Oh, it's better than the theory about pieces of cork.
Oh. It's a bit cold, huh? Now, tell me, Anna, how do I get to England?
Speaking of legends, the Germans have some, too. Have you heard the one about changing water into petrol, or the one about the man-eating crematorium?
I heard one about Anna Jensen, that she was the most beautiful girl in France. I still believe it. Look, is there a Mr. Jensen somewhere?
There was. My brother Gregory, RAF. They shot him out of the air over Dunkirk.
Oh.
He was all I had left. We lived here, together.
Then what keeps you in France now?
You are an inquisitive chap.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to pry. It's just that I'm interested in you. All right, then. Let's think this last one to Gregory Jensen before I go. Huh?
Of course.
To Jensen. Goodbye, Anna, my dear.
How do you expect to get out?
Oh, I know how the country lies pretty well. Oh, by the way, my name's Dorset. Chris Dorsey. I'll send you a postcard if I get through.
Whoever you are, blast you for coming into my life.
To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. The lively, full-bodied, real mint flavor cools your mouth, moistens your throat, freshens your taste. And the chewing itself gives you a little lift. Helps you keep going at your best. So for real chewing enjoyment that's refreshing and long-lasting, always keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. Helpful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum will make every day more enjoyable.
And now the second act of Let There Be Honor as we return to romance.
After he had gone, I sat there at the table for what must have been a long, long time. I didn't know what sense there could be in sitting there looking at his empty glass and at the chair. And yet I couldn't bring myself to get up and go. It must have been the wine, I thought. The wine. Or else the very face and features and the remembered voice of this man. And then I remembered what Madame Pichot had said about his papers not being right. That was in April. It was summer before I heard of him again. Two men stopped him at the canteen for coffee. Secret police from Vichy.
Yes, please, vile coffee. Mademoiselle, now you're going to write that letter to Churchill and tell him to ease up on the blockade, eh?
Yes, he would listen to you. Even an Englishman might turn almost human if you talk to him.
Hey, Jacques, you see that Englishman? Dorset, I think his name was. They brought him in last week.
Have you your bread tickets, gentlemen?
No.
50 grand each. Thank you.
They picked him up near Fontac, in military age, trying to cross the frontier.
What will they do with him?
Unfortunately, being an English civilian is not a crime yet in the unoccupied zone, so they don't know what to do with him. Someday the prefecture of this country are going to be organized right, and like everything else, they need it.
And now, Madame Pichot. We sit here in the dark again.
What a new thing. But in any case, this thing of collaboration is wine, I think.
They picked up my Englishman at Fontac last week.
I was right about me. It means that since he didn't get the information they want, they brought him back to try again. They'll let him escape, and he'll come here and try once more to trap you. So,
You think he'll come back?
You think clear, not me.
Well, when I think of it here any longer, we'll get a soft couch in the storeroom. I'll be back in the afternoon.
When she had gone, I stood there in the darkness and seen the planes sobbing overhead. Wave after wave, going over toward the island. And Jeremy.
Connor.
I jerked my head and held tightly to the counter in the swinging dock. He must have been standing there. A long time. Just within hand's reach.
Anna.
Hello.
I've come back to tell you I must it.
I was afraid you would.
French organization picked me up and brought me back from Pontac. And then turned me loose again. I've been out on parole since an hour ago. You know, that makes my 13th jail. Maybe it'll change my luck.
Madame Bouchard doesn't like the look of your papers. They haven't been through as much as you have.
No, they're new. I bought them from a printer in Moulin about 2 months ago. They're quite good, but the printer himself warned me they're not good enough to fool the police if I were to try for repatriation of an English civilian with them.
Why have you come back to the canteen?
Just to see you once again, before I make another try to get back to England.
I believe what he said. And above all, I believed in him. Suddenly, I wanted to put out my hand and touch him. I wanted to put my fingers on his cheek to see if they were yet a bit hollow.
Goodbye, Anna.
Wait. I live all alone on a point of land out on the sea. About half a kilometer this side of Cassis. But it's easy to find. And it does have an address. 28 Rue de la Mer. Oh, here's the all clear. Hurry now. They'll be coming back any minute. Madame Pichon's perhaps the police, too. You mustn't be seen here.
Good night, Anna, dear. Look, you'll be coming back to England, won't you?
Chris.
I mean, if I get through all right, you might be coming down to study.
But
it's quite a country.
No, wait. You don't understand. Wait, Chris, wait. All that night, I held myself in blame and bitterness and fury. And when I went home in the morning to sleep, I kept saying to myself, perhaps it isn't too late. Perhaps he did understand. And he'll come to me for help after all. Toward evening, I went out. I was walking down the sloping lane that led to Cassis. Frogs were calling up deeply and sorrowfully in the orchard reservoir. It was past dusk. The lights were going fast. And Cliff came walking casually down between the cypress and the olive tree.
Hello. It's the first time I've seen you without a veil over your hair.
Whatever I might have thought would be his first words, whether he came to me out of love or in marriage, there never ever were words like that. And I didn't answer in any way I might have imagined. I just stood there without saying anything until he took me in his arms.
Oh, Anna. Oh, my darling. My beloved.
Chris. Chris, you came back to me?
Yes, Anna.
It's madness for you to go about like this. We could be seen from the main road. Here, come. Let's go up to the house.
Well, perhaps it's too late to escape. I heard it in a cafe after I left the canteen. They say that Vichy is going to hand any bitter soldiers they catch over to the Germans in exchange for potatoes.
Then you'll have to get out tonight. We can have a few hours together. But then you'll have to get out.
I'll go. This time, I really will go.
Ahead of us is the line of the cliff, purely and wondrously defined against the fading sky. And as we walked unhurriedly up the lane, I knew I would soon tell him how to cross that cliff. How to leave me. How to go back to England and the war.
Later I'll come back. And I'll find you here.
Yes, I'll show you the house now. We'll have a little fire. You know it is summer. And we'll make some tea. And I think I might even have a bottle of Johnny Walker left somewhere about.
Oh, Anna, charming. So quiet and cozy and far away. Shall I fix the fire while you dig up the other things?
No. First, I must tell you how to escape. And if the police should just happen to come here suddenly, you can get away.
So you do know. You knew all along and you didn't tell me.
You crossed that cliff up there. There's a good path at the end of the orchard wall. The stars are out. You won't have any trouble.
Yes, I see.
There's a town on the coast about 10 kilometers after you've passed the cliff. It's called Saint-Henri.
Saint-Henri.
There you go up the Rue Principale to the Bar de la Marine.
Yes.
Go to the man who plays the guitar there and say my name, Anna Johnson. He'll have the papers for you and he'll give you the name of the ship and he'll see you through. You must be there by dawn. The ship goes out soon after. And you must do exactly what it tells you.
Yes.
You can't trust him. He'll get you across to Casablanca. And from there, he'll use them. Oh, my God. I should have told you all this weeks ago. I don't know why I had to have so many proofs from you. Perhaps because I couldn't really believe I'd ever meet anyone who was everything I wanted him to be.
Anna, I always thought all this was just legend.
Legend?
Yes. That you were English, and that you were there at the canteen, and that you were so beautiful that men went there just to look at your face.
And you thought it was nothing more than that?
Yes. Oh, of course, I also heard that you were the link to the underground, but I never believed it. And then when I asked you for the directions, I thought I only embarrassed you. I thought it was pretty rotten of me to go on insisting for information from you that you yourself didn't have.
Oh, my God. Darling.
Oh, no.
I stood there in his arms while he kissed my hair and my eyes and my lips. But the vision of the war, the brothers, friends, the dead and the living, the soldiers' faces, and whatever country is, stood grimly between us and our newborn love. Later, much later, as we sat together before the fire, I watched its light move on his face, laying quick, defining shadows there, and it came to me with thrilly conviction that we would see it through, and one day be together.
If I reach England all right, will you join me there? You would have no difficulty leaving France, would you?
Chris, darling, the underground needs me here. I'm valuable to them, and I need them. I want to go on fighting, too.
Oh, of course, Anna, yes, I understand. And I love you for it. But what if you are caught?
Come. We must go now. There are only 3 hours of the night left. Just enough to get you to Saint-Henri. You will send me that postcard?
Of course. Oh, Anna. My beloved Anna. We'll be together. I know we will be together.
Yes, darling, I think I know it too.
You know something else? I'm glad that you didn't give me the directions right off. I know. Glad of that. Come, walk to the path.
We went quickly, now that it was time. Out of the house, across the orchard, down the sandy path, under the olive trees and cypress toward the cliff. There were a few stars out, very big and bright through the trees. And we stopped finally and repeated the last things to each other when the sea washed dark.
We need so little, we two. What happened?
The whole world is ours, if we are worthy of it.
I need love more than ever now. I need your love.
Oh, my darling, you shall know my love. You shall know what it means. Kiss me now, then go quickly.
Goodbye, Anna. Goodbye.
I stood there and watched him disappear into the darkness of the cliff, taking with him more than I had known life could give. And as I watched, I wondered how long I could wait, how long I could stand, not knowing what was to become of him. A month later, I learned two things. I went into the canteen early one evening, as usual. My Aunt Pichot was alone at the cash desk.
Mademoiselle, there you are at last.
I'm not late, am I?
No, you're not.
But I've been waiting for you. Listen, my dear, something very serious has happened.
What? What happened?
They're on to us. Or on to you, at any rate. My daughter told me an hour ago, because you've been reported to the prefect, that you are the underground link here in Toulon for soldiers on their way to join De Gaulle.
But who? Who told him?
A little vicious spy called Pigeon. Meanwhile, of course, it means we cannot use you or this canteen any longer. We'll have to set up our own new system.
But I can work somewhere else. My favor,
I know, mademoiselle. To help us now, you must have no part of it. In fact, it would be best if you went at once to England, where they could never reach
you. To England? You mean I must go to England?
I do, mademoiselle. It is best for all of us that you do. Oh, by the way, you were right all along about your Englishman. A postcard came for you today. And I have an idea, mademoiselle, that you'll not find it too difficult, eh? Going back to England.
As she handed me the postcard, she shrugged and smiled and watched me. Rather proudly, I thought. I looked at the London postmark through misty eyes and read what was written there. It said, without any attempt to take the grandiloquence away, "Let there be honor."
Remember, friends, to make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. There's lots of cooling, real mint flavor in every stick. And chewing Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you feeling fresh and alert. You feel better, work better, get more fun out of doing things. So indoors, outdoors, wherever you go, keep some healthful, refreshing Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and brings you the greatest love stories of today and yesterday. Tonight you have heard Kay Boyle's Let There Be Honor, adapted for radio by John Meston and starring Joan Banks with Ben Wright. Musical supervision is by Alexander Courage. Next week, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the chewing treat enjoyed by millions, will bring you another story enjoyed by millions. It is an unusual dramatization of the original story upon which Bizet based his opera. Prosper Mérimée's fiery and impassioned Carmen.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.